thanks for tuning in to the Undercut's review of the 2024 Canadian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen, and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, so we had the 2024 Canadian Grand Prix this weekend. We've seen some crazy races here in the past. Obviously, the one that was talked about a lot this weekend because of all the rain that we saw all weekend was the 2011 Canadian Grand Prix, the one where Jensen pitted five times and was last in the race, but still ended up winning the race.
With a 3-hour rain delay in the middle or something like that.
Yes.
I think that was the race that they changed the rules, so that can't happen anymore. Right. Like, it's the whole, like, 2 hours of racing within a 3-hour window now. So once the race starts, it's 2 hours or 3 hours total, and then they just stop it. Yeah,
but that was a crazy race. I have watched that one. That was nuts. But, you know, we were in for maybe something crazy if we had, you know, similar weather issues, which were happening frequently all weekend long. I think the first two practice sessions had rain and not much running, and the third one was mostly dry, but that makes picking for coupes difficult when you only have one real dry session.
Lots of social media posts from drivers and teams of rain pouring off of tents and dark skies. And yeah, there's only so much data you can gather from running in the wet. And then you just, save the car.
And I don't know if this happened since the last time we spoke, but I think Checo got confirmed for another two more seasons in Red Bull, which is crazy.
I mean, that's the consensus, is like he's terrible. Like, why is he not up there with Max? And I guess that's true from a teammate perspective, but you know, he's proven he can do it in the past, I suppose, and change for change sake, it seems to be working for Red Bull. I don't know, I was a little surprised too, but sometimes you just want them to mix it up, you know, throw Yuki in there, or Ricardo, or Lawson, or some other guy. Yeah. But
it seems like they've had this decided for a while, because like a month ago we heard Checo say, like, we'll be hearing what the future for Red Bull is shortly.
Right.
And Checo is the one that said that. And then even though he's had a couple bad races recently, or weekends recently, he still got the seat. So I'm wondering if this was... pen was put to paper quite a while ago.
I don't know how closely they looked at Sainz, maybe. What Sainz would have wanted, I don't know.
Yeah. And I guess the other big news that we got is they sent the regulations for 2026 out, and that was a big hoopla, because apparently a bunch of teams were not happy with some of the regulations, which was weird. I thought they already kind of knew what...
Yeah, I was a bit confused about that too. I saw maybe that it was like leaked, and like in response to the leak, they sort of sent them out anyway, but people haven't approved them yet. But yeah, they're trying to put, there's going to be more power from the electrical motor, so and more active aero on the front and the rear.
So Ferrari fans are thrilled right now.
Adrian Newey, wherever he's going to land, is he pouring over the regs already?
Yeah,
probably. Dreaming up the next car, who knows? Yeah, what will the next big reset bring? But all we can do is wait and see. But
yeah, hopefully it's not a similar situation where in 2021 the cars finally looked like they were perfect for racing each other, and then the regulation change came, and then Red Bull dominated.
Wow, that's kind of how it always goes, to be honest, Jason. It's just a question of what team is it? It was in the 80s, it was Williams, and then it was, you know, McLaren for a while. Ferrari had their dominance, back to Mercedes again with Hamilton. So these periods come and go. But yes, the recent Verstappen dominance, especially last year, was off the charts. But clearly this year, teams have caught up massively. And this race was proof of that after super boring Monaco. I guess we can just call it what it was.
Yeah.
Not much action after the first race, after the first lap. This race was one of the classics, I think.
Yeah. But let's get through the qualifying real quick. The other big news, obviously, was Jacques Villeneuve was on the broadcast team this weekend. Obviously, he's Canadian, so he was on the broadcast and had some harsh words to say about Daniel Ricciardo, essentially saying that he's overrated and that he spends too much time worrying about his image and not enough time on how he's racing. Which, I mean, when he said it, I couldn't, like, you can't really argue what he's saying with how Danny's form has been recently, but it did seem pretty harsh. And everyone on the team was like, whoa.
he's been building, holding that in for a long time, maybe, Jacques. I don't know.
Yeah.
Jacques didn't do so well at BAR racing. This is where we need Nick, who's not on the podcast this week,
right,
to help us out with his great, better knowledge. But, you know, Jacques was world champion with Williams.
Correct, 97, I think.
I think that was when Schumacher got disqualified from the entire season because he purposely crashed into him at the end.
Oh my god.
Schumacher made a mistake, and then Jacques was coming around to overtake him. Well, am I getting that confused with Damon Hill? Anyway, Nick would know. But
that definitely happened. Damon Hill definitely got crashed into by Schumacher on purpose, but that's
twice.
That was for him to win his first one at Benetton.
Anyway, I feel like he crashed. Schumacher crashed into Villeneuve maybe, but on purpose. But
was that at Monaco? Maybe
it was towards, that no, it was towards the end of the season. No, it was right at the end of the season. But Villeneuve had some Ricciardo-esque years at British American racing, you know, where he was really a non-factor. So, you know, people in glass houses, Jack. You know,
right.
But I guess when you're literally at a circuit that's named after your father, like he could have been a father.
Yeah. And he's a world champion himself. Which Danny is not.
For sure.
But anyway, Danny did not enjoy hearing what was said about him, and it seemed to fuel him a bit during the weekend. But Checo, obviously, another huge disappointment in qualifying, getting out. He was out in Q1 last race as well, right? Two in a row.
What's he doing? That's the bit that is shocking. Like, he could be unlucky in the race and certain things happen, but qualifying in a Red Bull, you should not be going out in Q1, race after race. It's just
especially with their straight line speed at this track with a straight that's like a bajillion miles long. You should be doing very well here.
Yeah, I do. The circuit is, I do like the circuit. It's a bit like a street circuit, but it because it's got a lot of close walls, you know, not much space, but so you can't make mistakes, but at the same time, you know, it's wide enough for these cars to race aggressively, and you can, you know, high speed straights with outbreaking maneuvers into hairpins, and then another straight where you blast out of it again. It's a good circuit.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other big shock in qualifying, obviously, was the Ferraris not able to make it out of Q2. Neither of them. It's been a long time since we've seen no Ferraris in Q1 or in Q3. But
I mean, obviously, we all had Leclerc doesn't think it was a boring race in Monaco. he fulfilled his lifelong dream of winning that race, and then they come to Canada and they just don't have the pace at all. Could not get it hooked up. They just not, the Ferrari car just did not perform. They were just complete non-factors this weekend, basically.
Yeah, they did well in the first session, but like I said, there was barely any dry racing during, or any dry time during that session, so it didn't really show us much. But The big news was George getting the second, technically the second pole of his career, but I guess the third time that he will start first on the grid, because technically in Brazil, he had won the sprint because Kevin Magnussen had gotten pole from
the original qualifying. Oh, that was when the sprint determined the start order, but the official pole sitter was Kevin Magnussen.
Correct.
That screwed up the record books a little bit.
Yeah.
With the exact same time as Max, 112.000. Right on the money.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I saw a cool shot of the two cars superimposed. It was an animation, it wasn't video, but of the laps as they did and when they were ahead and when they were behind and how it all came together. So interesting to see how, you know, for a long time, you know, Russell was ahead, then Verstappen, and of course it all came down to nothing at the end,
right? So, and then because George passed the line first,
he set the time earlier. Yeah, you get it. It's happened a few times. I think one time, three cars got the same time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Jacques Villeneuve was one of the people that was part of that. And he was on the broadcast this weekend. So, of course, they did a feature on that before the race. It was him, Michael Schumacher, and Franzen, who I can't remember what his first
name was. Heinz-Harald Franzen?
Yeah, no. That sounds right, yeah.
Is that right? I think it's Jordan, drove for Jordan.
But the three of them got the same time for pole, and Jacques got pole because he crossed the line.
He did first. Yeah, usually, you know, obviously the pole is usually set later on in qualifying, so by setting it earlier, it's usually harder to hold on to it. But
well done,
George. And the, you know, Max right behind, but the McLaren's looking very pacey. Qualifying third and fourth, then Danny Ric in fifth. You know, was maybe fueled by Villeneuve's statements.
Yeah.
So, you know, a nice jumbled up grid, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you would say that the Mercedes has certainly found some pace and the McLarens are looking the most consistent.
I mean, those were other, I mean, Lewis was disappointed with that.
Yeah.
You know, qualifying spot because of how pacey he looked on the weekend.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Aston Martins having another good session, which they haven't had in a very long time with both of their drivers in Q1. And, you know, not only Danny placing so well, but Yuki also in the top 10 and Albon in the top 10. So crazy, crazy starting grid.
Yeah, definitely things have tightened up, unless you're in a state or whatever you call it. Unless you're Bottas and Joe, but
yeah, I mean they're really struggling at the moment. And because of that, they just figured we might as well. They both put new rear wings on for more downforce, so that's why they started in the pit lane. Ocon had a three-place grid penalty for his awful crash in Monaco, crashing into his teammate?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So he only dropped down one spot because Bottas went in the pit lane and Joe went in the pit lane, so he just swapped with Nico in the back.
Right. Effectively, yeah.
Yeah, so he lost one spot from his three-spot grid penalty. The track was still really wet leading up to the race. It rained a lot beforehand and they went out for, you know, a couple warm up laps, and Oscar tried inters and was sliding all over the place, but I think eventually they all pretty much started on inters except for the Haases.
Yeah. I mean, full wet, you know, it has to be really, really wet for inters not to work. Like, it has to be like actively raining. I think when the race started, it was still raining just, but they were predicting it was going to finish pretty quickly. So inters were ultimately going to be the right call because it was going to dry out quick enough. But the full wets on the Haases, when you're at the back of the grid, why not do something different and see if it works out for you? And the first lap from the Haases, you could see it was the right tire to be on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a crawl off the line for everybody. I
Yeah.
mean, it
The
looked
car
like it
got
was in slow
traction. Yeah.
motion. Yeah. But George and Max had pretty much the same starts. George moved over towards him, and Max looked like he had like a little moment, like his back tires just went out a little bit, but he was able to keep it going fine, and
Yeah.
it stayed the same for the top, you know, four spots pretty much. Lewis was able to get ahead of Danny, who had a pretty who had, didn't have a very good start. Yuki also had a pretty bad start. They both dropped down a few places on that first lap.
And
And
what, like,
Carlos had an awful one.
yeah, he didn't do great. And Checo came together with one of the Alpines, I
That's
think, at the
right.
back on the
Yeah.
second corner, spun him around, so he was able to continue. But other than that, everybody else kind of, yeah, made it through.
Yeah, but
But
like the Haases, like you said, they had unbelievable first laps.
yeah.
Kevin moved up, I think, like 9 places in the first lap or two.
Yeah, it was
And
like,
Nick.
yeah, you should definitely check out, if you haven't to see it, check out the onboard of Kevin's first lap. Like,
I should do that.
you can't see anything, but you know they know the track so well, and but you can see the flashing red lights from the cars in
Right.
front. But it was like a video game. Like when you're playing F1 video game, like every corner is an overtaking corner, right? You
Yeah.
always send it down either the inside or the outside. And
Because you can just flash back. Yeah.
that's pretty much what he was doing. Like he had more grip everywhere that they just didn't have with his full wets. So
Crazy.
it was great.
Yeah, that was awesome. Seeing both the Haases doing unbelievable things. Kevin passed Alonso into the last chicane, which put him up 9 spots and into P5. And where did he actually start? He started, oh my God, like P14, I guess. Yeah,
Oh yeah,
P14 up to P not up to P5.
he after just a few laps, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Still, he moved past Oscar easily on the next lap up into P4. Let's see. And then on lap 6, Logan went off the track. Almost, he like just kind of bumped into the cushion, but it didn't cause any damage. He was able to reverse out, but you know, typical Logan stuff there,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
Okay.
Let's see. Lewis went straight on at turn 1 on lap 7 while he was chasing Alonso. So he had to just give that place back. But then
Yeah, those
Alonso almost had a moment while he was going by Lewis when he was giving him the place back.
the two of them were having a great skip scrap. I mean, the
Yeah.
commentators really enjoyed, you know, throwing out the statistics of how many world championships
Right.
and race starts and race wins they had between them
Yes.
going at it. But you know, they were just trying to make each other make a mistake so they could slip
Right.
through.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good to see.
Yeah, great racing between them. And then on lap 8, it was already starting to turn over. The racing line was showing on the track. So Kevin came into the pits, but it seemed like either he had just decided to come in or the team called him in and just were not ready. But it was a shit show in the pit lane. It took like almost 9 seconds for the pit stop.
Yeah, the car was parked there, and the guy was running around the front of the car with the inner tire for the
Yeah.
front right. I'm like, oh, all that hard work just
Right.
like thrown away. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a shame. And he dropped all the way back down to P14, so almost right where he started.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously on 8 lap fresher enters, but
Yeah, he could have been like, yeah, 6 or 7 seconds further up the road, and it would have played out even better for him. Yeah.
yeah. Then we hear that Danny might get penalized for a false start, although I didn't, they showed the replay and it didn't
Yeah.
look like he false started.
I agree. I think the commentators agreed as well. We only saw it once. But yeah, he got the false start. They gave him a 5 second penalty, which he ultimately served later on when he came in for his pit stop, and he sat there in the pit box for 5 seconds before they worked on the car. But
Yeah.
yeah, it looked very it looked very harsh, the false start. Maybe Jacques Villeneuve again was
he was in there.
He's like, I saw him move. All right, Jack.
Yeah, right.
This is my dad's circuit, you know. If I say it happened, it happened.
Yeah. The only world champion from Canada, right? Because Gilles never won one, I don't think.
No, I think, I think he was killed before. I mean, I don't know even how many seasons he raced.
Yeah. Crazy.
Very, very sad.
All right, let's see. So, go for it.
I was just going to say Lance Stroll isn't going to add to that.
Well, no.
Anytime soon.
Definitely not. And Latifi probably won't either.
No.
Max was gaining on George at this point, lap 11. But George was doing a good job out front. Let's see. Nico was still holding on to the wet tires, but he was getting past fairly easily. And that's when Danny learned he was getting a 5-second penalty.
Where were the McLarens at this point? They were just in third and fourth, just
holding the station a little bit. Had gotten passed by Kevin, but Kevin.
Yeah, obviously Kevin pitted. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, okay. And the track was starting to dry.
Right.
But more rain was predicted. So nobody was going to go on to slicks because rain was going to come.
Right. So it was probably dry enough for slicks, but they didn't want to because they knew that there was rain coming.
Yeah, that's a really weird situation. So it was a case of just like who's going to blink first, you know, who's going to give it a go.
And they were just driving off the racing line just to get as much water on the tires as they can to keep them cool so that they don't get destroyed. Let's see.
Yeah, Max ran it like right up behind George, didn't he? But then he made a mistake.
Yep, he went wide at turn one.
Yeah.
Which he had to go over the curb there. So Lando was able to get right up on the back of Max and gave George some breathing room because he was getting very close. Yeah. But they ultimately turned DRS on the next lap. So it was obviously race control thought it was definitely dry enough for slicks and, you know, they can really go racing now. It was seeming like the Red Bull had the better traction out of the slow speed, like the hairpin. So Lando had, you know, the better straight line speed and obviously had DRS, but he just wasn't able to get close enough. But they're both catching George at the same time.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then finally on lap 20, Lando was able to get by Max into the chicane and take P2 from George, take P2 from Max and chasing George, who was pretty close to them at that point. I think Lando took him on the next lap at the exact same spot. And Lando started pulling away.
Yeah. This is when you were getting quite excited, I expect.
Yes, way too excited.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was great racing from Lando. Yeah, once DRS became activated, like he was pushing hard, the car was working well. And then obviously with the straights and the hard braking, maybe he'd saved his tires a little bit. It's not often that you see racing overtaking moves for the lead like that. And to come from third to first in a couple of laps is awesome.
Yeah. And poor George, I mean, he got passed immediately by Max on the next straight right after the chicane. So he went from P1 to P3 within two corners, essentially.
Yeah, I think, because he went, it was the very last chicane that he messed it up and Max came through and nearly hit him. It was close.
Yeah.
But maybe it wasn't that close. There was nothing. George couldn't really do anything about it. It wasn't like he unsafe returned to the track or anything. But,
right.
Yeah.
And I mean, just two laps later, Lando is pulled away to over a 5-second lead to Max behind him. So this at this point, I thought it was over already.
there was the still bag. Had more. We still hadn't. The rain hadn't shown up yet, right?
I know I should have known better, but I couldn't help myself. And then on lap 25, Oscar is getting up to the back of George. I mean, in the drying conditions, the McLaren seemed to be the best car on the track, at least with the wet tires still on. And let's see, that's right. And then Logan had an incident. So he was facing the wrong way on the track. I can't remember exactly what happened, but it brought out a safety car.
I didn't, yeah, he spun. He didn't
That's
seem
right,
to,
yeah.
he didn't seem to hit the wall terribly hard. He had already reversed it out previously from a stuck position. I'm not quite sure why he wasn't able to move the car out the way himself there. Maybe it stalled. I don't know. I guess it's possible. But yeah, so they had to bring out a safety car.
And
And
that was awful for Lando.
yeah.
A really bad, I don't know if he was already past the pit lane when it didn't seem like it. It seemed like they had time to make that decision. But they left him out there and everyone else essentially pit.
Yeah, I never saw like a timing graph that shows like his position on the track and when they said it was going to be a safety car, because maybe that 7 second gap that he pulled out ahead of Max actually hurt him, right? That's that the it the safety car call came after he had gone through the chicane, maybe past the pit lane entrance. Yeah, but everybody piled in. Lando had to go around in at a slower speed, right? At safety car speeds. I mean, and to fair enough that the other cars too, when they came out from their pit stop, had to go around at, quote unquote, safety car speeds. But you can make or lose handfuls of seconds,
I think what happened was is that the safety car was in front of him. So he was behind the safety car, not even going safety car speed. He was, behind the
Even
safety car, which is
even
even
slower.
slower.
Yeah.
So I
So,
mean, he
yeah.
was still able to he pit obviously on the next time around, and he still came out in P3, so where he started, but I'm sure that was disappointing for
Oh,
him.
total gut punch. I mean, yeah, he almost lost the place to Piastri. It looked to me like Piastri like jammed on the brakes so that to let Lando cross that key line first, which is fine. Teams can do that. But yeah, I mean, all that luck that Lando had with the safety car in Miami that gave him the
Goes the
race,
other way.
it just went 100% the other way, and that happened. So I don't think, Jason, I think you have to accept that as racing reality. You can't always
I
have
know.
it your way.
I don't like it, but I have to accept
Exactly.
it.
Yeah.
And that's where Danny ended up taking his 5 second penalty, which I thought you weren't allowed to do under a safety car, but no one ever said
Yeah,
it. So
and they all put on a new set of inters, still
that's right.
anticipating the rain.
Right.
And they we do what do we is this when we start to hear words that Charles has got a problem with his they can't he's got no he's got no basically electrical power or
I think,
something.
yeah, I mean, I think that it started pretty early on in the race, but we never really heard much from him again, just that the engine was acting weird, but he was still going. So, and he was running close to the points. He was always, I mean, not where he wants to be, but he was near 10th. But 2 laps into the safety car, he comes into pit while the safety car is still out there onto slick tires. And then sits there. So I thought he was retiring at first. That's what it looked
Yeah,
like.
he was like resetting the computer
Right.
or something.
Because they did it just like they would if they were retiring. They kind of like did the quick pit stop for a test and then all backed away and just stood there and watched him. So it was very weird. But yeah, like you said, he did some restart and they said that it seemed like it fixed it at first. They got some radio message that they showed us that said that seemed to have fixed the issue.
But they sent him out on hard tires then, did they?
Right. Yep. The
When
only person on slicks, yeah.
and it literally just started raining, right, as they sent
Yeah.
him out, I think.
Yeah.
I must admit, I loved the call at first just because you like somebody doing something contrarian just to see if it works.
Sure.
And it's usually the case in a wet to dry race that at some point there's the crossover, but none of the people at the front want to take the risk. It's
Right.
always somebody at the back that puts on slicks a few laps too early, has to tiptoe around for a lap or two, but then they can just start smashing in the lap times and they can make up big gains. But
But Ferrari didn't even wait that long.
that did not happen
No.
because they put on slicks as it started to rain, which is exactly what you don't want to do. And he just had nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he was dropping back so fast, and they brought him into pit three laps after that.
I think they were begging him to stay out, but he's just like, no,
Right.
I'm coming in fainters. Like they're like, no, just a couple more laps. It's gonna dry up, honest. But
Like, what's the point at
he was
this point?
losing like 6 seconds a lap or something. Yeah, it was
Yeah, I
crazy.
mean, he was gonna get lapped if he had stayed out there for
Anyway,
another.
we skipped ahead a little bit just in the story of Charles there, but
Well, not really.
back to the
Let's see. I
actual
mean,
race.
yeah, we had the restart, and Max had another good restart and was able to stay ahead of George fairly easily. The one great moment on this restart was Albon when coming up to the back chicane at the end of the lap, being crazy aggressive, getting the toe from, I think Danny was ahead, but then scooting ahead of Ocon going on the inside. That was absolutely nuts. I can't believe he made it work, but he passed two people in that chicane.
That was like an overtake of the year, or I don't know, not the century, but yeah, certainly one of the great F1 moves we've seen in recent times to take two cars in one, effectively one continuous move. And I think he went around the outside of Danny and then cut back between the two of them and went inside of Ocon into the hairpin, which is awesome. So somehow not touching any of the cars, everything just worked
How did
perfectly.
Ocon not crash into him
Yeah, Ocon
there?
didn't turn into him or anything. It was a great move, and Albon must have been loving life at that point.
Maybe Ocon's finally learned now that he's been fired again, like maybe I shouldn't crash every week. But that brought him from P11 to P9 and into the points, which is great for William.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's COOPSF1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
Let's see. Yep, lap 33. Charles pits again and back onto inters. And then Carlos, almost immediately after that, taps into the back of Bottas and damages his front wing end plate. He didn't have to come in for that, but
Yeah, they just left him out, yeah.
a sloppy move from Carlos on a not good weekend for Ferrari. Let's see what happened next. Max is pulling away from George now a bit. But the top five are all within like 1.5 seconds of each other and kind of fluctuating on the time. So it wasn't like he was dominating that much, but he does start pulling away here, showing that the Red Bull in clean air is a much different car from a Red Bull that's having to chase other people, at least, the last few races it seemed that way. Let's see. And then Pierre is the next person to come in for slicks. And goes off the track immediately onto the grass, but is able to bring it back on. And everyone was radioing in, telling their drivers that Pierre came in for slicks and that they're all watching him essentially.
We should also mention that I think Ocon, Bottas, and Yuki, they didn't change their inters at all. Like everybody
That's
changed
right.
their inters to for new inters with the safety car, but those three guys stayed out. So they were up to like 40 laps on these inters, which is almost unheard. It seemed like it would be a ridiculous statement to make, but maybe they were almost acting like slicks. I don't know much about tire wear, especially on the Inter, how much tread is left. But
we've seen some crazy races where people have gone a really long distance on the Inters when they're able to keep them kind of wet, but the track was drying. I would have thought that that would have really
torn them up.
Messed them up. Yeah. I don't know what I meant there.
Lap has a moment at
turn. Maybe Lando. Was that when Lando had his little moment, but he didn't end up losing a spot? He was able to slot right back in. It's the only LA name I can think of that would have been up there that I developed lap instead. Let's see. Oh, and then right after that, Charles retired from the race with whatever the engine issue was. We hear it was not actually fixed, and he gives up on the race. Can't really blame him at this point. Let's see what else. And then the Mercedes, you know, picking it up again, kind of seeing what we saw earlier in the weekend. Lewis was catching up to Oscar. Let's see. And then I guess this is where the Mercedes come in to pit.
Yeah.
Lap 44.
Hamilton pits on lap 43 for medium tires. I think they all start to, and then right after that, like Piastri, Alonso and Stroll. They're all coming in for slicks now. Except for Russell and Verstappen, who come in on lap 45, but Norris decides to stay out for two more laps.
The track was still a little wet, and it seemed to be working for him. I mean, he was still gaining time on the guys on slicks for a couple laps, but I mean, I guess towards the end of the one where he was about to come in, it was starting to switch back over.
It's a tricky one. I mean, there was different. Certainly the track was, you know, at different levels of wetness all over the place. And of course the pit lane itself doesn't get much traffic, so it wasn't dry at all.
Right.
So I think Lando, you can put this on Lando. I think he could have pushed a little harder in leading up to those pit stops. I think he wasn't pushing maybe for a lap or two before they all came in, and maybe he could have gained some more time.
Sure.
He was able to push whilst he stayed out, whilst they were out on slicks, cold slicks, because after his pit stop he came out of the pits just in front of Verstappen, like technically, but Lando was slipping and sliding all over the place, and he had no traction, and obviously Verstappen just pulled away, but it did put him ahead of Russell, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because the exit to the pit lane was still soaking wet.
Soaking wet. No traction there. Yeah, you couldn't accelerate at all.
Yeah, you would have flown off the track if you had really put it down. You had to just inch your way onto the racing line, and Max was right there up to speed and was able to get by him easily.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, he still made up a spot again, you know, not in the lead, but making it up a little bit at a time. And then George with DRS was able to, on the next lap, take it from him, though, because Lando was still having a hard time warming up the tires and back into P3. I guess this is where lap 51, George had the moment. I think it was after the chicane where he went wide, or right before the chicane, he went wide and missed that and went over the curb. I think this is the one where George came back on and they got pretty close, but Lando was able to sneak by him. But Max, crucially, was able to gain 2 seconds on those guys, and that's when he really started pulling away. Oh, right. And then lap 53, Checo crashed somewhere.
Yeah, he hit the curb hard, dumped it, backed it into a wall hard. The rear wing was just hanging off. Then he was driving around the track, definitely with a dangerous car. Yeah. He should not have been doing that.
No.
Who's the, I forget the name of the guy. Who's the reporter that was on speed? Will Buxton. He put out a tweet that basically accused, I think he deleted the tweet, but he put something out that basically said that it's understood that Red Bull told Checo to drive the car back in that condition so that they didn't have a safety car.
Interesting.
You know, to bunch the field back up. And I mean, I think I said as much to you in text, guessing that might have happened.
Yeah.
Still pretty naughty thing to do, pretty you know, dangerous for people out there. But I guess that was all somewhat moot because not long after that,
Carlos, before he even got back to the pits. Yeah.
Yeah. Carlos spins off and took out Albon, right?
Yeah. And that was a pretty careless spin on him. Him there anyway. Like you said, he just got on the curb and there was no traction there and just lost it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was kind of surprised there wasn't more cars spinning out all over the place. I remember when you have heavy rains, you know, cars just aquaplane like crazy. So I guess the rain was just at that right level where it was drivable, and then we got drying spells and then a little bit more wet and then drying, but it was damp but not aquaplaning wetness. I'm trying to think back. There was a European Grand Prix in the Nürburgring where cars were just constantly aquaplaning all over the place. They had to throw the red flag eventually. So maybe it was just that perfect Goldilocks level of rain for this kind of racing, but still caught plenty of people out.
Yeah, but poor Albon, who was up in the points for a lot of the race. Obviously not at this point if he was near Carlos, but...
The Ferraris definitely had a weekend to forget, and then ultimately the Williams... Both that, you know, even though Albon was doing so well, another double DNF for them.
Yeah, brutal. And let's see. I guess this is where lap 55 were under the safety car, and George and Lewis both come in to pit again. They had a free pit stop behind them, so
yes,
why not?
They could. Yeah, they put on fresher tires, so... Russell went from hards to new mediums, and then Hamilton went from mediums to new hards.
That's right, yeah.
They didn't really lose anything, right? They just came right back up behind in their new tires, so that was a good move by them.
Yeah, the safety car came in on lap 59. It was out for quite a bit. I guess the cars were in a tricky spot to get them out of there. And Max has another great jump off the line. He had over a... 1 second advantage out of turn one on the restart. So doing typical Max restarts, it's kind of an easy place to get people caught out here for the restart, because you're the first car out of the chicane and then you just gun
just nail it.
There's just no nothing. Way for anyone to catch up.
Nothing they can do.
Within two laps he's over 2 seconds ahead of them. It looks like Lando might be starting to reel him back in again, you know, like he was before, but Max put the jets on and pulled away. George got a great jump out of the hairpin, but him and Oscar both had DRS, and Oscar was able to stay on the inside and keep it ahead. It was really close, but they didn't, you know, I think they touched, but they didn't. Nothing crazy, and I think George moved behind Lewis, which he was, I'm sure, not happy about, but still going.
Yeah, George had a few overtaking attempts that were ultimately didn't really work out for him. You know, where for others it did work out, depending on how the other driver reacted, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Just on the next lap, Lewis was able to get by Oscar fairly easily into the chicane, taking a podium, which would be his first podium of the year, he was hoping. But George was flying behind them. Just a couple laps later, he was able to get by Oscar. And then Yuki has a crazy spin on that lap. I don't know how he didn't touch anybody when he went flying backwards over the track.
He went off at the first chicane, slid, tried to go around the sign, but the car, he had no control on the wet grass. Right. He took the sign out completely, which is just styrofoam. That didn't matter.
Yeah.
But I mean, how he, and I think it was Hülkenberg coming around, they did not touch somehow. Hülkenberg just flicked his car to the left and somehow missed the front of Yuki's car. I mean, it couldn't have been any closer. That was
crazy. Yeah, that was crazy. But that was, I mean, and whoever was behind Nico just went the other way around Yuki. So it was all nuts there. And I think that, I mean, so George was able to ultimately get by Lewis on, I think, the second to last lap into the final chicane.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, free racing from Mercedes. I guess, you know, they let their drivers race, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so George was able to get it done on Lewis going into that final chicane, which, yeah, I mean, Lewis said after the race that was one of his worst races that he's had in a long time, which is crazy because he finished fourth, right?
Yeah.
It isn't terrible, but no. Lots and lots of opportunities went begging for
that.
I mean, I think any one of those guys could have won it between Verstappen, Norris, Russell, Hamilton, and Piastri. Like, depending on how things fell. Ultimately, you know, Max's, you know, combination of the safety car, luck, and speed shone through. So we're not surprised that he won. But, you know, if you told me a few weeks ago, like, there's going to be a race where Leclerc wins and a race where Verstappen wins, and one's going to be super exciting and one's going to be super boring, I would have not have guessed that the Leclerc win would have been boring and the Verstappen win would have been exciting.
Right.
But, you know, here we are. Maybe, again, it's another little check on that things are tightening up potentially, or, you know, teams are being more competitive. I mean,
absolutely.
Max is still odds on
to. Yeah.
To win the title, but
absolutely,
you know, it's not going to be the cakewalk it was last year.
No, although the next race in Spain, I believe, Barcelona, is like tailor-made for the Red Bulls.
Right.
So we will probably see at least a little bit more dominance from him, but I guess England or the British Grand Prix is after that, and the McLaren should look pretty good there.
I wouldn't be so sure. I mean, yeah, these cars are all, they're finding pace, you know, here and there. Everybody's getting a little better. So, like you said, the Aston Martins, you know, I mean, a Stroll and Alonso finished sixth and seventh. They barely even got a mention. I guess they were just turning around on their own. Like, they didn't really get into any incidents. So, I guess that's good for Stroll coming seventh in his home race. You know, could be worse.
Yeah, it could be.
And there was definitely some, you know, more Alpine, not drama, but they switched Ocon behind Gasly to allow.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
To allow Gasly to attack Ricciardo, and then said, or implied, I think, that if he didn't overtake Ricciardo, they'd switch back before the end of the race.
Yeah.
But they didn't switch back.
Of course.
So lots of like not so cryptic messages on the radio from Ocon going, it's fun working with you, John, but everybody else not really. Something like that, you know, something to that effect.
Well, maybe Ocon shouldn't have crashed into Gasly at Monaco last week, and then we wouldn't have this situation.
But
I mean, still winners on the day for Alpine. Double points.
Yes,
I mean,
double points. They're going to have one unhappy driver for the rest of the season anyway. Now that they've told him he's not got a seat with them next year. You know, but he's got to drive for himself and his seat, much like Carlos, you know, still looking for a seat.
I don't think Ocon will be in a seat next year is my guess. Ocon will be one of the guys out.
You think
But poor Jack Doohan, who had an opportunity for an FP1 session this weekend, but it got rained out the whole time. And the only time he went out there was just to do a practice start at the end of the session.
That's the way it happens sometimes.
Yeah, but he'll have another one, it looks like. McLaren, obviously, winners, you know, they're going to be happy with a P2 and P5. You know, I'm sure Oscar would not have wanted to go back a spot, but still, good on them. Mercedes having crazy pace out of nowhere. I mean, yeah. Lewis said that was his worst race in a while, but still, he got his best finish he's had all season.
I think he's just, yeah, he's ruining the fact that he had something to work with and he couldn't get more out of it. And then I think they said it after the race that Checo's going to get a 3-place grid penalty for, you know, driving around with his rear wing.
Yeah.
Will that even matter if he can't get out of Q1 anyway? Yeah, he'll just go from 16th to 19th or something.
I would be shocked if he cannot get it out of P1 at Spain. I mean, they know the drivers know this track so well. It's not like Canada where they don't test here and
right.
You know, that would be crazy, but obviously an awful weekend from Checo. His worst at Red Bull, you'd have to say. I mean, Q1 exit, crashing twice during the race, brutal.
Yeah,
and then a penalty to follow, and then like you said, I mean, both Ferrari and Williams, two double DNFs on the weekend, so. Very disappointing.
Yeah.
And also disappointing is that this is the first week in many race weekends where I've moved down in coupes. Not that I was moving all that far up, but, and I think I only moved down one spot, but still moving the wrong direction.
Well, shout out to our other co-host.
Yeah.
Mark, up one spot to third overall. But R. Heatley and SJC237 retain their first and second spots, and then Mark going up to third. Again, I mean, on the race, you know, I think with Perez not being in the top six, people are still putting him in there in the top 10.
Yeah.
The two Alpines showing up means that the points are a bit depressed. Yeah. Trelvis Gresley with the biggest points this week, 215. Followed by Ben Matsushaka. I can't even pronounce that. onto Spain in 2 weeks. Like you said, they historically did a huge amount of testing in Spain. That was one of the places that they did some testing a few years ago. So lots of data on the circuit. We'll see who can make it work for them.
Yeah. I surprisingly picked Checo for 8th in this race, and I thought that was being bold.
Yeah. Well, prediction consensus, the bot that does so well just by it takes everybody's picks. It went up 21 spots to 13th. So once again,
that's madness. So we have to see
as a group. You know, we seem to know what we're talking about.
Wow. As a group, we put Checo in 7th place. That's crazy.
I've got the 1-2 and Lewis and we had Max right, Norris right, Hamilton right, Oscar right.
I need to listen to
there you go
consensus more often.
It's right there on the homepage.
I know. Obviously I don't know what I'm talking about.
right now 70. For early Spain picks, they have Sergio in 8.
Wow.
So, anyhow.
Yeah.
So, what a great race. A great race.
Yeah. Best race since we've started doing this, I would say.
Yeah, maybe. I think going back to basically the end of 2021 when it was the Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen showdown for the World Championship. You can't get much higher stakes than that. But,
yeah.
This one played out great. Definitely one to forget, like you said, for Ferrari, but I think and probably Perez, but
yeah,
for those at the top, a lot of good stuff to take away.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully we'll see more close racing like this.
For sure. Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens in Spain. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Canadian Grand Prix.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen, and join us next time for our review of the 2024 Spanish Grand Prix in Barcelona. Thanks again.